Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Four Center, show about Star Wars, pop culture, and the ultimate adventure, life itself. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Lando.
And we are here for Subjective Wars. This is our show where we take two things, we pit them against each other, but there's no real winner. This is about how we feel about it. Because you see, it's subjective. It's a fun way to discuss a lot of interesting things, both in Star Wars. We love doing those Star Wars debates. Check out our most recent one, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter. But we also like getting into pop culture and some other life things as well. And it definitely spurns conversations, and we like that here in this engagement-based world. But this is a big one today. We are trying to capture, and we're going to capture, the vibe of the week in which this episode's being released, because there's a big sporting contest, and I'm going to say Super Bowl, and the NFL can come after us. I know they don't like that word used around, and there's, someone can put a comment on our YouTube version of this or Discord on the podcast side, explain the actual legalities around it, why you have to call it the big game or the Super Owl and all those silly things.
Oh, my gosh.
But the Super Bowl is here. We've got two teams, the Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers. 49ers, all right? Kansas City, San Francisco, two big teams. Some people are happy about it. Some people are still upset that Taylor Swift has a boyfriend who plays professional football and she watches. We aren't here. So in capturing that, we wanted to talk a little bit about sports. Now, I definitely love sports. I love sports my whole life. We'll set the table here. Joseph, as you said, hey, you didn't have no one taught you to have a relationship with sports. You don't dislike it. You just never were involved in it as much. So your relationship's a little different, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. No, my father didn't watch, and my mother didn't watch, and there was nobody really around me. And the little bit of times that I got interested in sports, I had various bad experiences. I played soccer for a little while, and that was fun until I tried to join the junior varsity team in high school. I was like, I'll do this. And then they just made me clean up stuff and go through the handshaking line. And people said the team that had beat us just said extremely rude things to it. So my experience was to beg my dollars, my parents to spend money on cleats. And they're like, what's a cleat? I knew a guy in Brainerd, Minnesota named Cleat. Why do you need those? Well, I need those so I can help do laundry and be called offensive slurs by people I've never met. So yeah. I had a negative experience. I didn't get to the fun side.
Yeah. Understandable. But, yeah.
I love the Super Bowl. Love it as a cultural event, and I love participating in it every year.
Yeah, I've watched one with you here, and I love it. And I love that you also painted others, the other athletes on the teams, as the French from Monty Python and the Holy Grail, just up on a castle yelling rude things. Jed, as discussed, you've got a somewhat of a relationship with sports. It comes and goes, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But where are you at with sports in general?
I've kind of been around the Super Bowl parties. I've gone to them. I usually am all about the snacks. That's generally where I stand. I like them. You know, we get to hang out, see friends, get to have some chips and dip.
Mm-hmm.
Done. But actual sporting event itself, sometimes I'll get sucked in depending on who the team is. Sure. This year, I think I am interested because of T-Swift and Travis Kelce. So.
Absolutely. Love that there. And the reason I set the table for that is if you're a Four Center listener, lifelong sports fan here, get into it. Really got into football again this year after a few years kind of I wasn't engaged, but also don't want anyone to feel put off. This isn't a sports conversation if that's a place you're not comfortable. This is about the pop culture event. I mean, there's an argument that the Super Bowl could be a national holiday, right? To give everyone a Monday off after the game. Mm. It's for better or worse what it is. And what we're going to be debating here, what our subjective wars is about, is what is your favorite part of the Super Bowl event, the commercials or the halftime show? Now, I'll set the table here. I'm in this discussion too, but what I'm saying to both of you is you have the positives of both. You have the negatives. You have the cynical approach to both. Joseph, if you want to get some followers off your tweets, you need to sit there and make fun or celebrate parts of each. And what do you like and what has more of an impact these days? We all could name some classic moments from halftime shows that are both like cringe, but in a way we all can't turn away from, or moving, or from commercials. You might not even watch the Super Bowl, but you might know the Bud Light Bowl or, you know, the debut of a catchphrase from some commercial or something like that. Or just if you're a movie fan, movie trailers, all those kind of things. We're talking about all that. So I'll stop talking. I'll ask first, Jen, where do you lean? What draws you into the event, the commercials or the halftime show?
Well, like our previous episode, I am torn. And the reason why is when I became a professional actor and I mainly did commercials, I cared very much about the Super Bowl commercials. And you can always tell, like around fall is when they start auditioning for the Super Bowl commercials. And I actually got one that was in the Super Bowl. It was a Bud Light Book Club commercial. I think it was 2010.
And you're great in it.
Thanks. It was really freaking awesome. It was amazing. Yeah. Didn't change my life, but it was really fun. like I thought it would. And then after that, you know, you get put on hold and you're like, oh, I'm going to get this commercial. You don't get it. But then you see it air and you're like, you know, you're at the party with your friends and you're like, gosh, dang it. All right, they went with a redhead. I guess I can see why I didn't get the commercial, right? It's just like, So now I enjoy the halftime show a little bit more, depending on who it is. Because sometimes they have bands and I'm like, I have no interest in it. But J-Lo and Shakira, Perfection. That's the kind of halftime show I want to see.
Okay. We'll put a pin in that, not them. We'll put a pin in that. I want to come back to that. That's a great example. Great use of it. Understandable. And I, you know what? I kind of remember that commercial before I knew Jen Landa. I knew Jennifer Landa. Joseph, like I said, I've had the privilege of sitting on a couch with you and watch you do your work where you're like, I gonna comment on this. And I can't pin down what you lean to on this.
Yeah, I mean, this will be a fascinating Super Bowl year because I wonder, it was already dead on Twitter. In early days of Twitter, it was a way to really introduce yourself to the world because everybody was on it. It was having this great party. And if you had a joke that really flew, you could make a real big difference in your career as for me, you know, comedian, writer, performer, need an audience. You know, there's some early Super Bowls where I got a lot of followers. Now, I don't know who's going to be talking about it where. So for me, it used to be a little bit fueled by what was going to drive, you know, discussion and jokes the most. And I think commercials and halftime show are really even there. Mm. But what I discovered when I started to think through this is I thought I would lean toward commercials. Because I'm most fascinated by the commercials in that I think they are a great way to assess what corporations and ad people, where they think America is, because themes always pop up where a bunch of commercials are wrestling with the same anxiety or trying to sell the same thing. But at the end of the day, walking away from it, almost all of those memories are negative emotions. Like, I remember that was a year where almost every beer commercial was sexist. I remember that was the year where celebrities tried to make crypto happen. I remember that as the year where, you know, half of the commercials were sad sequels to movies, right? Like, you know, everybody got excited. There's, he's getting back in the road for Big Lebowski, like to sell his potato chips or toilet paper. I can't remember what, you know, like I like making jokes about the commercials. But when I started to think about what do I remember? Positively, everything was a moment from a halftime show, not a moment from a commercial.
Wow. So it's two against me right now. Maybe. This could be first ever 15-minute subjective wars. And by the way, you're so right, Joseph, about going to commercials. The music definitely tests, hey, where we're at style wise and what's cool, what's hip, or, you know, I love there's that discussion. But commercials really are a litmus test of where are we as a nation and a world. And the answers are not always great. The crypto one. And yeah, the years where every commercial was two women fighting in a fountain over a hamburger. Right.
It was gosh. Yes. Or eating the Carl's Jr. burger or whatever.
Sexy Carl's Jr. I think was the same year that I think GoDaddy's commercials were all like extremely male gaze objectification. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah. Wasn't it like Danica Patrick? And it was go to GoDaddy to see if I take my racing gear off. Yeah. Like it. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes,
so
right.
that is the darker side of it. And I have a lot of positive memories of good, like Lady Gaga's halftime show was one of the ones that really kind of cemented me, like going, I think I'm a fan, where I thought maybe I was a little more cynical about this whole thing. I am a fan of U2. I know not everyone is, but post 9/11, their February 2002 show early 2002, whenever the Super Bowl played that year, you know, their names of all the people lost in 9/11. It was a big emotional moment that was maybe shared more by the world then than now, because you're right, Joseph, the fracturing of where we all go to hang out. So there's that. But I'll go even now, even this year. There's going to be a Affleck one with Dunkin' Donuts that I'm excited about, because the journey of Ben Affleck from meme to owning the meme has been – because I don't love – I hate talking dog commercials. I hate talking baby commercials. I still have a more cynical eye towards the commercials, but I'm always curious and I'm always excited. And who knows? There could be a trailer that moves you, especially – I remember back in the day, you know, the early Schmoes days, we'd all go to like Mark Ellis's house. The whole crew would be there. And we'd have to run off to one of the bedrooms to film a reaction to the new Mission Impossible trailer. I don't have total positive memories, but it was also an excitement. It was a big pop culture day. So I'm going to start out by saying I'm siding with the commercials.
Oh, wow. I have so many thoughts. So the commercial thing. All right. I think this is partially I am wounded from or informed from wanting to talk more substantively about right. the movie trailers. The movie trailers are actually have become a bit of a bummer for me because everything is so fast moving and I want the trailer to just be the trailer. Like I absolutely get the commercial value of debuting a really cool trailer during the Super Bowl, but then I want to stop and rewatch it a bunch and think about it. And then I'm disengaged from the Super Bowl.
And then everyone yells at you when you're rewinding the TiVo at the Super Bowl and Joseph, they're like, Joseph, make it live.
This is why you and I watched the Super Bowl together because we knew the Solo commercial trailer was dropping.
Yes.
And at that point we were going to just stop watching the Super Bowl and record the trailer. So we watched it up till the Solo commercial and then we recorded during the Super Bowl. I have been invited to Super Bowl parties and I have said no because the tweeting was like, I'm on a mission. Like I have a notebook. I'm trying to take screenshots. You know, even sometimes when I watch it with Sarah, she's like, is this going to be a talk to you watching the Super Bowl? Or is this going to be you are married to your phone? And like in some years it's been I'm married to my phone. Like this is the trailer I remember the most fondly now in retrospect is Cowboys versus Aliens because people were so excited of like James Bond and Han Solo are going to be in a movie together. And the movie came out and people hated it. I've never seen it because people hated it. But the excitement, I believe my totally not original tweet, but it got traction at the time was, you know, that everybody was getting, you know, penalty flags for too much celebration because of for dancing in the end zone of Cowboys versus Aliens because the excitement over Han Solo and James Bond being in one place. So yeah, the trailers are a mixed blessing for me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I feel, there's a lot of good reasons, torment there to like or dislike the commercials. Jen, I'll flip it back to you here. I want to pick up where you left off of like, you know, Shakira and J-Lo, Super Bowl halftime show. What is that dividing line between something you want to watch or something you're like, the halftime show is an archaic thing from a bygone era and I don't care?
You know, it really has to be somebody a little bit more current, somebody who's used to performing. Well, a lot of these artists are used to performing in giant stadiums. I don't know, but somebody's going to put on a real show. And no disrespect to the Stones or anything, but I just didn't find that year was it the Stones or was it Aerosmith? I can't even remember now.
Aerosmith was, and that was the year I think they did something with Britney. Spears I don't know, Timber Jerk. I can't remember. I'm going to look that up. This is part also what we're doing this era. Okay, I'll look that up. Yep.
I just wasn't, I'm like, I'm tuning in for this.
Oh, yeah, 2001. Britney Aerosmith and NSYNC. Man, talk about NSYNC. A cultural time capsule.
And I just felt like nobody could really do what they do because they're all trying to come together. And it just felt very much like we're trying to appeal to like to America, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to like getting the best. I don't know. They're all wonderful performers, but
conflicted. It's also, let's be honest, like it's like I think hosting award shows and I'm not here to attack or defend or prop up anyone. Like that's a tough room. It's a tough job. And some people are great at it. But even some people like I got no problem with Billy Crystal's Oscars performance, but I didn't want the sing and dance and schmeck on my Dougal. I'm not there. I wanted Oprah Uma. Like that was my Oscar. Like, and that didn't work. So it's a tough spot. So even the Rolling Stones, I've seen it SoFi, I've seen it football stadium. They're spectacular, but it might not work for 11 minutes. Well, you know, or 20 minutes, whatever it is, while the teams are having orange slices and getting strategy for the second half. I don't know. I agree with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home,
You have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
But you're torn. Okay.
It's become a place for a specific kind of performance that's not just about great music, however you define that. It's about show stopping and how did they pull that off, and you know, that like there Beyonce, has to be there has to be an element of of show stopperness to, so it's not, so it's different than just a concert that you would see them at.
Didn't Gaga like come in, jump in from the roof?
That's my my biggest Super Bowl memory of anything, of like she jumped from the top of the stadium. And it was that like, and she has a costume that's similar enough to the comic book character Dazzler, one of the few comic book characters who has not been prominently added to the MCU. So it's like, Lady Gaga's got to be Dazzler. And that's that like that level of spectacle. There's the word I was looking for. Spectacle.
That's the word.
You can't get anywhere else except the Super Bowl. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
Like, it's a good music and a spectacle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's obviously time to plug 5 foot two, the Gaga doc that is based around the Super Bowl, that leads up to it, everything. And everyone, the make reference to the Simpsons predicting that she would not only be in Super Bowl halftime show, but come flying in. All right. I don't know how they do it either, but spectacle. So you both love the halftime show. Is there a negative? Do you root for the negative? And did we turn to the positive more in the halftime show than the commercials? For instance, one of the most famous Super Bowl halftime performance moments is Katy Perry and a dancing shark, which I would say started cringe, but turned into a celebration, Jen. Yeah?
I loved that. That was an unpredictable moment. And, you know, the benefit of the Super Bowl is this it's like this monoculture, right? Which we're really missing nowadays with streaming platforms and YouTube and all this stuff. It's like where we can all get in on this one thing and just meme the heck out of it and talk about it. And people still, I see, are wearing Halloween costumes as that shark, right? And we're like, oh, I know that. I know that. It's a great cultural moment for Americans.
I love Left Shark. I think Left Shark is triumph of the monoculture. If I was doing a documentary on Left Shark, it would be called Triumph of the Monoculture. You're so right to point that out, Jennifer. Because a lot of it is snark. And I have, you know, particularly early on, going back to when I started to live tweet it, like 2012, there was a lot of the snark. And a lot of it is just like the people are making big, bold swings in the commercials and in the halftime show. And now we can just kind of sit back like we're in a Roman Coliseum and point at them and laugh about why they're dumb. Left Shark, to me, evaded all that because it was a story of the underdog. Of Katy Perry's entire performance was big, giant, weird spectacle. You like her, you like the spectacle or not. But it was this one person, whether planned or not, somehow being human within this mega machine of Katy Perry's performance and the Super Bowl. And it was entirely relatable. So people did meme the Left Shark, but they entirely memed it not from "you suck, you're dumb, this is what's wrong with culture." It was a, we're all kind of Left Shark, aren't we? If most of us were up there, we would also forget the choreography. It was a unifying moment in my mind of an underdog triumphing.
I don't want to give this away, but can we crowdfund this Four Center doc about Left Shark? Because it's getting deep and important here. That's amazing.
That's the truth. Yeah.
You both might be pushing me off fast because there is, again, I think there's some historically some really fun and funny Super Bowl commercials. I think ad agency and copywriters can be really creative. You know, I didn't watch Mad Men, but I think they can be creative. So I do like it and the performances and it's fun. And I grew up with some in the Bud Bowl. Watching long neck beer bottles fight each other on the football field was like, I look forward to that more than Cincinnati versus San Francisco. Like, that's what me and my friends were talking about the next day. But there's something that maybe over time, and I'm pushing myself off here of my own pedestal, where commercials, and I don't have a, you know, my dad didn't watch sports a lot. We maybe have had the Super Bowl, but it wasn't until I got interested that we actually had Super Bowl on. So I don't remember the early 80s. I don't remember when Super Bowl commercials became a thing.
Right.
And I wonder if they're too self-aware. And I wonder nowadays if they're, if it's just set up for cynicism, where what you're talking about with Left Shark does kind of push past that and has an ability to be more organic based on the artistry of the spectacle we're seeing. All those fancy words, they're not too fancy, like 1 cent words to say the halftime show does have its own energy that is not pre-planned. There's some of it that is very pre-planned. All of it's rehearsed. Where commercials are trying too hard. Now
they're calculated.
I think they've got sweaty over the last couple of years too. Cause I think if you had asked me maybe 10, 15 years ago, I would have said the commercials are the best. Cause I felt like, there's creativity. There's ad people going.
Right.
The Super Bowl is an excuse to try something weird because people don't want normal commercials. So what can we do that's different? But over the last few years, it's felt either sweaty or deceptive. And by sweaty, I mean, I feel less the creativity of writers and more like an old person in a suit going, this is what my kid likes, so do one of those, like trying too hard to please people.
Yeah.
Or there's been a preponderance of commercials where that old joke where like you watch like maybe a 60-second one and it's like shots of a horse boldly going, you know, somewhere like, is this for a car? Is this going to be for a weapons manufacturer? Is this going to be for a diaper? Like, it'll be just like, here's some imagery that we think people like a horse running. And then it'll be at the end, it'll be like, you know, Toys R Us is coming back. You're like, what? Why is, you know, there's been a lot of that.
It's very different from when I was auditioning for Super Bowl commercials back in the day. They were more about like, let's tell something weird. Let's tell a story. You didn't always have as many celebrities in them. It was more about like, what are we trying to convey? And this was like kind of at the beginning of social media, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now, in more recent years when I've had auditions, I just had one last year, very much about built around a celebrity. It's really trying hard to be really funny that you know that they're trying to make it go viral, right? They're trying to have these viral moments. Sometimes they'll even do a sneak peek of the commercial. It's just, and you know off the bat that the commercial is going to be during the Super Bowl. You're not 100% sure if they're going to actually air it though, because with mine, I was waiting. I knew it was the Super Bowl, but then the only reason why it aired was because it went into overtime. That's the only reason why it aired. Wow. They're very strategic about if they're going to, you know, like if they're going to actually do it or not. So I don't know. It just seems a little bit too self-aware.
What you both are saying to me makes a lot of sense. That I think, Joseph, you said 10, 15 years ago, if we had this debate, it might be different for you. I think when I think of the halftime shows, and there's artists and moments that I've loved over the years, right? I still have the early Simpsons view when they had a great early football episode they did where the halftime show is really dumb, over-the-top things. We're like, we've come from outer space to sing a song for you, rock around the clock. And I think that's been my view. It's why even I ever said earlier, it's kind of an archaic, you know, cheerleaders, pom-poms, and a marching band. Like, I want to watch the game, but I know we need the – So I think I've carried that forward, and the commercials represent creativity. But you're right. I'm thinking like the year you mentioned, Joseph, but the year that crypto basically was like, we're crypto, we've won, and here's our commercials, and they lost from that day going forward in a lot of ways.
The face plant of that, Matt Damon, be bold.
Oh.
You know, are you ready? Are you willing to take risks?
Larry, I'm a you really giant.
Open a window and just throw your life savings out for me, Matt Damon. It was an epic fail.
I am a giant Larry David fan, and him being involved with those, it was just like, oh no, you know, like, and like guarantee they're like, it's, you know, what'd be funny? We reveal that it's an old lady fighting for the Snickers bar. That's funny. Yeah. 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 And I think that's starting to take over, but I still have I carry the old hope of the Bud Light Bud Bowl when I think I have to face reality. You two are making me face reality. It's all become an algorithm chase. It's become a trend chase, not a trendsetter, where even someone, you know, I don't have a stake in the plight in the career of The Weeknd, but when he performed and then got, you know, people kind of thumbs downed it collectively, I felt I wanted to defend the dude. It's like he's out there doing it.
One of the greatest meme gifs ever, though, of him lost in the mirror tunnel. Like,
That's right. Oh, that's a good one.
It's a huge one.
That's a good one.
This is a really instructive conversation. Yeah, because I didn't watch when I was younger. You know, there's that infamous Marvel halftime show with you know, where I didn't watch when they used to be almost more like, it's a Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade, but stationary for 11 minutes. That's more what the halftime used to be, right? Like, I didn't watch that. The biggest thing for me that for the halftime is there's baggage about the Super Bowl, about this is everybody coming together. Mm-hmm. And how is it reflecting America to have, what do the commercials think Americans want?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for me at this point, the halftime show has become, this is a golden spot to shine a light on an artist who has made a dent in American culture. And at least half the audience is not going to like it no matter what. Half the time I don't know the artist, and half the time it's like, that music isn't for me. What it is in the middle of this, you know, sporting event with commercials that are right now, I think, sweaty and manipulative, is just this injection into the arm of monoculture of art, of expression directly from an artist. And, you know, it's, of course, the artists are there to sell things, but it is just, here's weird costumes. Here's people celebrating dance. Here's a lot of strong, different perspectives and voices that come from different cultures. Here's weird expressionistic set design in the middle of your sort of most average American stereotype thing, which some people I think bring to sports fans. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but I think there can be an attitude that, like, this is meat and potatoes, middle of the road America. And now here's a woman in a dazzling suit jumping off a roof. Injects just some risks, some art, some expose yourself to diversity of all kinds.
I really like what you're saying. I think there, and Jenna, I want big closing thoughts from you too, but like, there's an inherent sexism or an inherent, I don't even know how to describe it, but jocks versus nerds vibe that comes from, we're going to do some singing and dancing for the ladies while the guys are getting ready to play. And I agree with you, Joseph, that it also pushes past that, or at least tries to. You're always, I don't want to make any general sweeping, you know, generalizations there, but there's something inherent to that there too as well. Anyways.
The reason why I love the halftime show is because you do have performers who want to just put on a great show, right? It's coming from a good place. Watch the J-Lo documentary about her performance. getting ready to perform for the Super Bowl. It is fantastic. You see the training, the song choice, the fear, right? The nerves, the expectations that she's putting on herself because she knows, you know, millions of people are going to be watching this. And like physically, how is she going to be able to have that stamina and do these stunts and then also, you know, right. doing the thing with Shakira. It's just outstanding. It's a whole other level where you're like, oh, not every artist could perform at the Super Bowl and have it be a hit. I mean, that's why the Weeknd, like Rihanna didn't do much, but what Rihanna did that was great was she reminded us she has hit after hit after hit. I went to iTunes and I was like, oh, that's right. I got to listen to my Rihanna playlist. It's like back-to-back songs of hits.
Yeah. And she revealed to the world she was currently pregnant at the time, right? Wasn't
the Talk about taking advantage of that spotlight. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I forget the numbers. I think one of the Gaga songs at the halftime, like hit number one that hour. Like it, you know, mm-hmm. it's definitely has that influence. See, you both are making these wonderful, deep, really important points. So if I was to still stick with commercials, I'd be like, but yeah, what about three guys on a couch going, what up? Like,
oh my God.
What's up is the lost classic as far as
I'm. Ooh, that was a good one. That was at the end. Commercials.
And there's power to it. Cause let me tell you, for about a year at my work, for after that commercial, literally all my friends would say that every day. I mean, every day until my brain started. So not to take anything away from the, I think there was like one guy behind the creation of that campaign initially. I don't know the details, but, yeah. Okay. I think I know where this is going. You have both swayed me. So Joseph, are you standing tall behind halftime shows?
I am standing tall behind halftime shows for just the great injection of art and spectacle. And I hope the commercials prove me wrong this year.
Who knows? Jen, I imagine you are still standing behind and dancing with the halftime shows.
I am standing behind not the corporations and the advertising agencies, but the artists and the music nerds for the Super Bowl performances.
Yes, brought to you by Pepsi, at least for a halftime show.
Right.
But I don't want to undercut your point. I think it's wonderful. Well,
there's really no part of the Super Bowl that's just innocently trying to have fun, and I guess money's involved.
Right.
It's just some guys in a park throwing around the old pig skin while someone sings a song. I don't know why y'all.
Put on a show for the neighborhood kids.
You both have pushed me off my pedestal of commercials being my favorite thing. I still enjoy the potential, but I think I'm going to go with halftime shows. It's a clean sweep, and we've done it. We've decided things here today. Love it. Love it. Thank you for indulging me on this one there, folks.
Absolutely. Touchdown.
Left shark.
Getting ready.
Left shark indeed. All that remains is for us to sign on out for this show. Thank you for watching. And as always, if you're watching on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, hit those notification bells, all those things for us to engage with the algorithm, but also express yourself. Share a thought down below that's your own opinion, your own subjective take on what's better, or your favorite moments, or what you think of Left Shark, all those things. If you're listening to the podcast, we always thank you for that. You can go in our Discord if you're part of our Patreon, just a tweet, thread, or post that, hey, here's your thoughts. You can find us on Twitter and Threads at 4CenterPod. Facebook page is 4CenterPodcast. We're on Instagram as well. And you can also to YouTube, but also our podcast is available in a lot of different spots. Just search. You'll find us. And merch is available at tpublic.com/user/4Center. Maybe we'll put a Palpatine saying what's up shirt on there soon. You can support us directly at patreon.com/4Center. You can follow me at Ken Napsok. Go to my website, kennapsok.com, if you'd like. Joseph, where can they find and follow you?
What's up? It's so addictive. You can follow me on all the social media at Joseph Scrimshaw.
Jen, there's some great footage of you dancing in a train station. Where can they find it?
You can find it on YouTube at Jennifer Landa, or Instagram maybe at Jennifer Landa, or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
Find it there, y'all. Thanks for listening. Thanks for taking into this. We have jumped in and fought and determined. We have played the subjective wars. We'll work on that outro. I'm Ken Napsok. See you. Bye. Wow.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.